Welcome one and all to episode 408 of Signals from Mars. I'm your host, Victor. Jeremy Weltman joins me today for our monthly new releases recap. That's right, we're going to be going over new albums that were released in February of 2025. This is for all you people that want to keep up with what's new, what's fresh, what's up.
I'm ready.
Let's do it!
If you're back again, this is going to be redundant because you already know that this is for all you people that say that there's no good new music coming out. February was an exceptionally good month for new hard rock and metal. Yeah, we don't cover absolutely everything. We cover things that stick out to us, things that jump out at us. And I'm going to be honest, there are certain genres or subgenres that I don't get into as much as others. If I see some band that I know of or a band that I've posted on Patreon, then I'll check their album out, especially if it's a song that I enjoy. If there's a label that kind of stands out to me and they usually release things that are in the neighborhood of what I enjoy, then I'll check that out as well. It isn't a science, and there are things that we miss, definitely. There are things that I see on other sites that I go back and check out anyway. But I think it's a good start. And on the website, I do post a lot of the albums, or not a lot of the albums. I post a list with all of the albums that we do discuss, plus the additional albums that I do mention during the episode. So you can go there to check all that great stuff out. But I think we've got you covered. There really shouldn't be any type of confusion as to, hey, is there anything cool that's come out? Is there anything? There isn't anything, you know, there hasn't been anything since 89 that I like. You know, I was living my best life back then. I haven't progressed past high school. So, whatever. And if that's you, I'm sorry. If not, open your mind, motherfucker, and check out some new music. Real quickly, want to send a shout out to my patrons, Pascal Schomacher, Sean Richmond, Chris Sinzak, Tony Espin, Anthony Mackey, Ed Ferguson, Johan Edistrom, Metal Dan, Jose Ruiz, Chris Vaglio, Gabriel Ruiz, Brad Dahl, Mike Jones, Jeremy Weltman, who's on this episode, Steve Hoker, and Steven Saylor. Thank you, all you guys, for your support. Remember to go to signalsfrommars.com for all of your one-stop shopping when it comes to keeping up with the podcast, the live stream, merch, Patreon, anything you can do to help us out. And I say this all the time, it doesn't necessarily have to be plopping money down for the Patreon or for a cool t-shirt, although it is very appreciated. There's PayPal donations, there's the whole buy me a coffee / buy me a pizza route, there's using our Amazon links to pick different things up. Yes, we are, or I am, an Amazon associate, so I get a certain kickback if you make a purchase through them using my links. You can also share this on social media. Check out some of the 30-second shorts that I've been posting with hard rock and metal trivia. And thanks for listening to this episode. There's a million other podcasts out there that you can be listening to. There's a million other shows you can be watching. But I appreciate that you are here listening to this show. And I hope you share it with a friend. And I hope that it makes your day better. That if you're having a shit day, you turn this on, you laugh with us a little, you argue with us a little, and you're just flat out entertained. Let's get on with the episode, folks. Welcome, one and all, to the latest episode of Signals from Mars. I'm your host, Victor, and joining me tonight is Mr. Jeremy Weltman. Jeremy, how are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Victor. I was really enjoying your music tonight. I always enjoy it, but, you know, the intro music, it's excellent. Just remind us who actually did that, because I can't remember. Was it you?
That would be me. I don't know. Sometimes I hear that and I'm like, wow, this sounds so pedestrian. This sounds so amateurish. And there are other times where I'm like, yeah, this is great. You know, so there's sometimes mixed emotions about that stuff, but still cool nonetheless. So we're back for another albums countdown, not albums countdown. This is what happens when you do two things at once. We're back for the review of new albums that were released in January. No, in February 2025. We are in March and I am fumbling all over the place. Anyway, thank you for joining us. And there's a lot of excellent music to talk about tonight, which is what we shall be doing. And on February 7th, we had a bunch of big name releases here. So we had new albums from Dream Theater, Ginger, Thunder Mother, Obscura, Marco Hitala, who's best known for his work in Nightwish, and I'm probably pronouncing his last name wrong. Sorry. Chris Harms, first solo album, singer of Lord of the Lost, who gets a lot of love here. Black 44, Days of Jupiter, Midlife Crisis, Saber, Pathogenic, Phrenolith, Open Casket, Unrequited, The Defect, Fuzz, Populi, a reissue from Saber, their album Without Warning, and a live album from Plush called Live USA 24. Jeremy, what did you listen to?
Yeah, I thought it was a fairly interesting mix of releases, really, to kick off February. I really enjoyed the good time rock and roll of Thunder Mother. I described, you know, as really the Swedish girl school. Dirty and Divine, studio album number 6 now. And I guess you kind of know what sort of music this band is. It doesn't really require a lot of analysis. It's very upfront. It's in your face, old school hard rock. You know, a fair few references to AC/DC there. I would question, is it indispensable? Is it a must pick? No, but of course not everything that, you know, you enjoy is. But what I would say, you know, it's built on strong foundations. It's in that great hard rock tradition. It has very good hooks to the music. Very decent singer, very strong production. And if I might add, it's a band, you know, I'd be really happy to see live for sure. So, you know, that was a really good start to the week, to the month. Thunder Mother, really good. I moved on to Black 44 with an album called Bloodlines. This time it's the band from Finland playing stoner and southern influenced metal. It seems as if they sort of release an album, you know, a decade ago now, and now this one. I'm not that familiar with the band, maybe because they don't release everything so often. So I can't really comment, what's going on in the band or why they spent so long releasing stuff. But in any event, it was a real enjoyable listen. Plenty of grooves from the off, you know, couched in sort of metally undertones, semi-growly vocals. You can really hear what's being sung. There's also some very tight riffs on the song The Kingdom. And, you know, it sort of morphs into a bit of a sort of Guns N' Roses style epic, I thought, that song. So, yeah, I enjoyed that one as well. That was good. I also listened to the new Dream Theater album, Parasomnia. It's as we know, it's a concept album about sleep and dreams. you know, I've never really fully bought into this band. I must say they're a little bit proggy at times for my liking, but they are excellent musicians. I would admit that. Often the desire to experiment, they play around, you know, various chord structures, as we know, and, you know, scales that, you know, can leave the listener probably a little bit cold at times. It was here with the lengthier songs, you know, A Broken Man, Dead Asleep, The Shadow Man Incident, none of which I must admit I can recall now. You know, they're so complex. But having said that, I did find some joy on the album. You know, the excellent song Midnight Messiah, Are We Dreaming, Bend the Clock. You know, so it was a real mixed bag, which is what I find with Dream Theater a lot. So I'll just leave that one there. So really, I guess my album of the week is The World Was Never Enough by Days of Jupiter. This is the Swedish melodic metal band. It is a touch generic at times, but it's a quality release. It's got very good production. I particularly like the ballad Desolation. I thought that was a real classic song with sort of super guitar weaving in and out. Amazing vocals from Jan Hilly, who's, you know, really adds something to the band, I think. The Fix that follows is sort of more full on with sort of gothic overtones. There are lots of other heavier songs that are quite multi-layered on the album. And, you know, for sort of a modern sounding record, which, to be honest, isn't always my bag, I thought it's a really good listen. So that's my album of the week.
Okay, cool. I listened to a few different albums as well. I did get a chance to listen to the Dream Theater. Midnight Messiah is by far my favorite song off of the album. It is a really good song. And I think that the singles are all pretty good. The thing is that I'm much like you, I'm not a huge prog metal fan, so it just doesn't work for me after a while. I did get to listen to the new Ginger album, Duel, which I really like Ginger, but at this point, this is album like 4 or 5. It's just more of the same, where it started wearing on me with their previous album, and now this album is it doesn't suck, but I've heard all this already. You know, it would be as if Judas Priest put out British Steel 5 straight albums. You know, you'd get kind of turned off by it. I did listen to the Chris Harms 1980 album. It is okay. It is much more in the vein of 80s synth wave. It is all right. It really has little to do with hard rock or metal. But I'm going to go with Lost in Flames from the LA band Saber. Saber is a band that very lo-fi, 80s influenced heavy metal. And if you're into mid-80s, like bordering between New Wobbum and when glam metal became the thing, that sort of pocket in the middle where bands were trying to figure things out, they were still being a little High and Dry Def Leppard. They were still being a little Priest, a little Maiden, without getting too far into the LA stuff. That's kind of where Saber resides to me. And there's nothing new on this album, but it is entertaining. And I think for anyone that's into anything remotely close to that, I think that it's worth a listen, definitely. We have a few people in the chat tonight. We have Mr. Brad Dahl sending his cheers. Brad, glad that you joined us. We have joining us early on today, Mr. Edgar Winterson. Edgar's saying that Jeremy is a Dream Theater hater. And Brad actually just saw Dream Theater live. Brad, what would be easier for you to step into? Playing with Kansas or playing with Dream Theater? Which of the two? So, all right. So I'm going to throw in our first question of the night. We started this with a previous episode. All right. The question is, what's the album that made you fall in love with hard rock or metal? Was it a classic, a deep cut, or something unexpected? All right. Chime in, folks, as Jeremy and I move on to the next week here. If I can pull my Excel back up. Here we go. All right. February 14th. New albums by Lacuna Coil, Crazy Licks, Hangman's Chair, Dynasty, I guess how you pronounce it, Twisted, Scorpion Child, Mantar, Love is Noise, Spiders, Diamond Dogs, and Speeding Chris, I guess is the name, Lone Shark, Bleeding Through, Ginger Evil, Mantric Moment, Savage Lands, Sixth Sense, Warlung, EP from Raven, and that's it for the 14th, Valentine's Day. Jeremy, what did you listen to?
Yeah, I actually did listen to the Raven EP, but I'm not going to review that because obviously we go through albums, but you know, it was typical Raven. I went really old, sort of fairly old school with the three albums that I'm going to mention now. First up, Game of Faces by, Dynasty. It could be Dynasty or probably Dynasty. Swedish band on the block there, as always, but definitely not one of the best, I'm afraid. There's Bags of Melody on here. They have a real decent singer, also good production as normal, but it's all a bit like ABBA on speed. It's, some of the songs do sound a little bit like Heat, but they're fairly poppy and, you know, nothing very memorable. So, you know, I wasn't too favored by that one. But the better album really was No Sins to Confess by Lone Shark, which has a carefully placed umlaut over the O, not the owl. for some strange reason. A band from Finland, but they might as well be from Newcastle, England, because they're, you know, a band steeped in new album, really. And to be honest, that's what really makes them fairly appealing to me. Sure, they're fairly unrefined as a bag of unrefined sugar is, but they're just as sweet with guitars that attack. The big letdown is really having a singer that can only just sing, though. But hey, you know, no one ever complained about Jess Cox of Tigers of Pantang, the late Paul Di'Anno, or scores of other new album singers, you know, that could only just make it. So, sit back, transport yourself back to 1980 and enjoy the raw power of Lone Shark. But it wasn't my pick of the week. I tried Thrill of the Bite by Swedish band Crazy Licks. They've been going, as you know, a little while now with their sort of, you know, pure 80s style sleaze, glam, hard rock crossover, whatever you want to call it. And to be honest, it isn't bad at all. You know, there's some great hooks on it. You can't help feeling, you know, they hadn't copied a style. And, you know, when they were young, they would have, you know, if they emerged in the 80s, it would have been a real big thing, probably. And I also reckon this band would be really good to see live. For me, Thrill of the Bite by Crazy Licks is my album of the week.
All right. One quick correction, Jeremy. Okay. Bone Shark is from Spain.
Right. Okay. I didn't realize that. I thought they were from Finland. Right. Okay.
Okay. So there is a Finnish loan shark, but the one with the lots over the O is from Barcelona.
Oh, right. Okay. Thanks for that. Yeah.
So there you go. All right. So I listened to, I listened to Scorpion Child. I saw the end as it passed through me, which Brad has just mentioned that. He actually purchased. I listened to Twisted's Welcome to Your Funeral, listened to Hangman Chair's Sedition. I have to say, actually, real quickly here, the Scorpion Child, if you're looking for something that's new album influenced, I would recommend it. The Twisted is more of modern hard rock, something that's could border on getting radio play, the one video that I posted on Patreon, reminded me of one of the last two Ozzy albums. Interesting note that Todd LaTorre of Queensryche, the lead singer, plays drums on the album. So there is that. Hangman's Chair. There are songs of theirs from the French band that I've enjoyed in the past, but the album just gets kind of samey to me. It just sounds like one long song, unfortunately. For me, Sleepless Empire by Lacuna Coil is my pick of the week. Have had this album since about the beginning of the year. I know that not everyone that listens to what we do here enjoys them. I've been a fan for quite a long time. And what I like about this album is that they get heavier, and at the same time, they reintroduce things that they've done in the past where they've tried certain melodies or maybe bringing in a more of a popish element at times to, and here it works because it mixes with the heaviness. It isn't like in the past with like Shadow Life, I believe is the name of the album. It has the glass grenade on the cover where it's just full on pop almost, where it's like Anthony Mackie would call Eurovision metal. And I don't think that this band needs to do that. They are, like I said, they've gone in a heavier direction with the album and at the same time added other elements that kind of propel this in a different direction. So, all right. Brad is saying, let's see, Loan Shark reminds me a bit of Riot. Crazy Licks also doesn't hit hard for me. And saw a bit of Scorpion Child last year opening for Saxon in Austin, Texas. They were really good. All right, so let's see here. Real quickly, Jeremy, since no one has chimed in the chat, what's the album that made you fall in love with hard rock or metal?
Yeah, it's a very easy one for me. It was Physical Graffiti by Led Zeppelin because it was probably in my time of dying in Kashmir. Those sort of songs were quite, you know, on the heavier side for Zeppelin. And, you know, I heard them very early before I even heard, you know, British Steel or Wheels of Steel. So, yeah, that'd be for me.
Dun, 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 na, na, na.
That's it. Yeah.
And Kashmir, I mean, that's my brother had Led Zeppelin 4 first, and then he got Physical Graffiti. And Led Zeppelin 4 blew my mind. And when we got to Physical Graffiti, Physical Graffiti has a lot of music on it, and it has varying music. So there's a lot of different music. There's a big, long musical journey for you on that. And at the end of side one is Kashmir. And I remember the first time listening to that and being, what is this? You know, with just the Arabic feel to it and all that, that was all very new to me. And that's why I think there's some like Arabic influenced music and stuff that I've always enjoyed because Zeppelin did a lot of that same stuff. And I remember people saying to me, oh, you know, I can't get into this, you know, I don't like this sort of music. I'm like, right up my alley, you know. Wow, Kashmir, by far the worst Zeppelin song. We don't need strings in a Zeppelin song. So you're telling me, Edgar, that Kashmir is worse than Hot Dog? Or Carousel? There we go. So Brad finally has jumped on in. Johnny Winter, second winner, probably set me on my rock path. Edgar plays on it, plays a bit on it. There you go. I fucking love Hot Dog and Carousel.
We all like different things.
Hot dog.
One man's music is another man's noise.
Yeah, there you go. One man's trash is another man's gold. Yeah, they only come out at night was great. Okay. For me, it was I remember touching. I was 4, and that set me on my musical path. That destroyed me for life. So, all right, let's move on to February 21st. We had new albums from Killswitch Engage, Scour, which is one of Phil Anselmo's side projects. That's his death metal side project. I would imagine that Ed Ferguson will be voting for that on his top 10 albums of the year. Let's see, Jason Bieler and Baron von Bieler's orchestra, Manor Womb, Vulture Vengeance, Morax, Air Force, Abduction, Traitors, Katarina Nicole, Ellis Mano Band, The Seventh Guild, Twins Crew, Nachblut, I guess how you pronounce that, Retromorphosis, Silos, Sacrifice, EPs from The Dark and God Complex, and a new live album by Dirty Honey called Mayhem and Revelry. And we also got the Warner Recordings 1985 through 1994 from David Lee Roth. So I actually have 2 copies of Eat 'Em and Smile on vinyl, have several copies on CD as well, English and Spanish, and also have it on cassette somewhere. So as interesting as that might be, I love Eat 'Em and Smile. I think Skyscraper, is underrated because a lot of people get stuck on Just Like Paradise, but there's other really good songs off of that, like Hot Dog and a Shake and Stand Up and Knuckle Bones. And I think it's a solid album. It gets a bad rap. Mm. And the third album, A Little Ain't Enough, which features Jason Becker, isn't bad either. The title track is really good. Hammerhead Shark is good. On Fire. Or Babies on Fire. Is that what it's called? I don't remember. There's a few good songs off of that. Showtime is actually on that as well. Then after that, I mean, Your Dirty Little Mouth, I'm not a fan of. The Funky Monkey or whatever the hell the name of that song was, just was a big turn off to me. Anyway. Jeremy, what did you listen to for the week of February 21st?
Yeah, I agree with you, by the way, on the early Dave albums. They're really great. Yeah, this week I delved into the new Air Force album, Acts of Madness. It's a band that features the old-timer Doug Samson, of course, who trades on his brief spell in Iron Maiden. I saw these guys actually last year supporting Rave in Alcatraz and Girls School on a sort of new Wobbum night. And they were very entertaining too. And the lead singer Lino, he's a Portuguese guy. He sounds really like Bruce Dickinson. In fact, I actually mentioned to him in the toilets during the interval that he could actually get the Maiden job when Bruce retires. And he sort of laughed at me. But I actually honestly meant it because, you know, he does sound like him. And in fact, the band, you know, as you know, they sound a little bit like Maiden as well, but probably with chunkier riffs. You know, they're not as they're not as refined as Maiden are. But, you know, even if they're not the same quality, you know, they have some old school metal, and it's, you know, it's a perfectly fine listen. But I also thought this particular week I'd try out some death metal thrash for Ed. And in this week, I enjoyed the sledgehammer riffing of the German band Traitor with the album Phobias. Sure, it wasn't something, you know, I'd listen to in its entirety, but it had its moments of angst and anguish. And I thought, you know, I'd mentioned it because, you know, you've got a varied group of listeners on these channels, Victor. So it's good to get something a bit different out there. And also I'd had a bit of a heavy day with work, and it was a really great, you know, to blast out something very noisy, you know, which we like to do from time to time. So it you know, did the trick for a day. My pick of the week, though, was a real unexpected pleasure, really, for, you know, a power metal fan like me. I mean, Chapter 4 by the strangely named Twins Crew from, I think I've got this one right, I'm sure they're from Sweden. You know, it's actually really good. Obviously, Chapter 4 means it's their fourth full-length release, obviously, you know, I haven't heard them before, to be honest. But what they've done is, you know, they keep it fairly heavy enough to appeal to metal fans rather than go down the sort of pop route, which a lot of, you know, bands, you know, they fall down that sort of trap, really. I'll admit, you know, the singer struggles a bit occasionally with some of it. But and I know it's not your bag as well, Victor, but, you know, not everything has to be a five-star album to be enjoyable. And what I say is I enjoyed it. So I'm going to pick it as my album of the week.
Okay. All right, so I listened to, it would be good if I didn't close the Excel sheet on myself here. I listened to The Amulet from Morox. It sounds like full-on 80s heavy metal. Listened to Vulture's Vengeance. Their album is called Dust Age. Starts off with a real thrashy song and then kind of goes back to just being full-on heavy metal. Listen to Jason Bieler and the Baron von Bielski's Orchestra. The Escapologist is the name of the album. And it's not bad. It's proggy at times. It's poppy at times. It's a little of everything. It's okay. For me, though, my album of the week is This Consequence from Killswitch Engage, another album that I've had for quite some time now. I know that diehards are annoyed at this album because they say it's too polished. They say it's too clean. They say it's them selling out. I think it sounds great. I like a lot of the hooks that it has. I like the fact that Adam D is singing clean on the backing vocals on a lot of songs. I mean, he usually does guttural backing vocals, and there's still plenty of that here, but I like the clean direction. So, all right. Second question here of the night. Let me post it on here. All right. If you could bring back one metal musician for one more album or tour, who would it be and why? Would it be a legendary frontman, a guitar god, or an underrated icon? Jeremy, who would that be for you?
Well, I guess if we can include dead people, then I'm definitely going to say Dio, because I've seen him live, you know, several times. And I just want to see him again because he's a master. Yeah, and imagine if he was turning up at Ozzy's gig in Villa Park, and he'd probably steal the show, unfortunately.
You imagine that they roll out the Dio hologram for that night?
Yeah. Yeah, Sharon go, no, it wasn't supposed to be like this.
She'd have them throw eggs at it.
Yeah.
I was going to say Dio as well.
Oh, okay.
But I would say this. I'd love to have him back to do another Sabbath album.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be my thing. Let's see. Brad is saying Eddie Van Halen, obvious reasons. Makes me think. Should I have said Randy Rhodes? No, should I have said Kevin Dubrow? How about that one, Brad? Yeah, Eddie is also, I don't think you could go wrong with that either. All right. Let's move it along. This is the final week of February. This is the one that I've been waiting to discuss since January. So February 28th, we had new albums from Robin McCauley, Dirk Snider, Architects, Hyrax, Arion, Avantasia, Chemicide, Perfect Plan, Oversize, U Infinite, Bronco, Year of the Cobra. Sepulchral Curse. Wow, I don't know how to do that. Grave Infestation, Brainstorm, Dark Chapel, Enemy Inside, Grima, The Residence, Vakius, Venomoris, Reissues from Bon Jovi, Slippery When Wet, and Vision of Disorder with their self-titled debut album. Jeremy, what did you listen to?
Yeah, I think metal bands need to come up with a name one day which doesn't have any vowels and which you are not going to be able to pronounce
at all.
Oh,
yeah, of course. I'm sure there's some death metal band that already does it.
It's going to happen, isn't it? So for the final week, yeah, I listened to Dirk Schneider. I listened to the Revisiting Balls to the Wall. I mean, it's going to be great. I'm going to see the band performing it live, on the Saxon tour in November. And it is an album, I mostly like, bar the odd sort of turgid song on it. I must admit, not every song is fantastic on it. But really, the re-records are not for me. I mean, I want to see it live, but I don't want to see, bands making their original albums worse. And I think this is, I don't like the fact they have a guest singer on every song. I just want to hear Udo singing it. That's just me. It doesn't work. Full stop. So I listened to Light That Burns the Sky, by Arion. We've mentioned the band before, symphonic style metal band from Finland. I have the last album, Vultures Die Alone. I think they released it back in 2021, I think. I enjoy that album. I thought it was, it's a decent listen, but it's not a band I want to listen to a lot of all the time. I think they're a bit samey. This one has its moments, but again, overall, it's, a little bit the same. So that's definitely not my album of the week. The same could be said of the melodic band Perfect Plan from Sweden, but I'm going to pick them as my album of the week. And I'm going to go on to talk on about another album with you in a minute, Victor, because we're going to talk about probably Robin McCauley. But Perfect Plan is my pick of the week. Good band, definitely more pop than rock. You've got to be in the mood for an 80s AOR band, very like Europe in their heyday. And, I like Europe, and there's a good deal of that on this album. They do sort of rock out a little bit more on the odd tracks. And, there's a song on there, At Your Stone, which really sort of illustrates that fact. And, it's definitely good enough to be my album of the week. So I'm going to pick that one. So I'm going to come on to Robin McCauley, and I think you're going to mention it. So maybe I'll just wait till you get to that and we can have a chat.
Okay. So I listened to Venom by Enemy Inside, pretty modern metal, was okay, but there's a million other bands doing the exact same thing. Listen to Dark Chapel, which is Dario from Black Label Society. The album had its moments, and it's funny. As I was listening to it, I'm thinking, a lot of people say that Black Label is almost Ozzy Light, where Zach is sounding like Ozzy and doing a lot of stuff similar to Ozzy. And part of the reason why I think Ozzy works with Andrew Watt now to write a lot of stuff is to differentiate from what Zach is doing there. Absolutely. And Brad is saying that from the excellent podcast, the Hojo and Hunzi Hard Rock House, which he mentioned because they talk about AOR constantly. So Dark Chapel to me is kind of like BLS light at times. So it's a good album, has some really good songs on it, but I mean, it's not a bad start. Let's see. I listed the Arion as well. I think you kind of summed that up. My album of the week, though, is Plague of Rats by Brainstorm. This could possibly be on my year-end top 10, the Brainstorm album. This is the I've heard of them, but this is the first time that I've actually listened to them. And I honestly think this is an album, Jeremy, that if you listen to it, I think you'll really like it.
Mm.
So, no, it isn't AOR black metal, Brad. So, but the album that that we're going to talk about here now is Robin McCauley's Spellbound. What's your thoughts on this album?
Yeah, well, my first thought is I'm very, very disappointed with it because I really liked Alive. I thought Alive was Alive. It, you know, it had a certain tempo on there. It was a heavy album. There was a lot of great tracks on it. If not every track was very listenable. I bought the album, still enjoy it. Perfect. This album misses the point on many tracks. There were one or two that were okay. I like The Best of Me. I like one or two others. They were okay. I felt that the songwriting was nowhere near as good. I felt that it really didn't hit the heaviness of the previous album. So I think it missed a lot of, you know, he really didn't push on and release an album that he could have released. And so for me, it's not a must purchase, whereas the last album was a must purchase.
Okay. So I agree with you 100%. This album is the biggest letdown for me this year.
Mm.
As the buildup towards the album, I kept hearing, this is my heaviest album. This is my deepest album. This is my best album. And the first single, I thought, well, the guitars sound kind of thin. Alive had a very metal sound.
Mm.
Very heavy guitars, a lot of chugging. And I equated it to, and it made our top 10 for 2023, was it? Or 2022? Mm. And I think that caught a lot of people off guard because it was so good. And I said it was similar to the Dee Snider albums that he had released, the last few that were heavy with his vocals and whatnot. And I was like, wow, Robin is going to pick up the flag that Dee is leaving behind because he's no longer going to release any more solo music. Mm-hmm. So I was like, as much as I don't like that Dee's going to stop, I can live with having Robin be the guy that can continue with this. And the album is a huge letdown. Again, it doesn't sound anywhere near as heavy. The guitars are super thin. The songs aren't as good. And today, as I was out for a walk, I listened to an interview that Chris Aiken did with Robin McCauley. And like a lot of other Frontiers projects, Robin was paired up with a songwriter who was writing songs for the label and is presenting these songs to him. And the first two albums were written with one guy, with Alan Del Vecchio, I believe is his name. He's no longer with Frontiers. And they switched the songwriting partner up. So obviously, that guy's going to bring his style to the forefront. And it just did not work for me. It's a shame because I was looking for a progression to what he had done. And listen, Chris Aiken during the interview says that it's his favorite album with Robin on it since one of the early Shanker albums. I think the previous two albums are better, personally. And I would even say the Black Swan albums are better.
Yeah.
So it's a shame.
Yeah.
It's definitely a shame. All right. Third question here before we do that, let me just run down what our picks are. For February 7th, Jeremy picked Days of Jupiter, The World Was Never Enough. I picked Saber with Lost in Flames. For February 14th, Jeremy picked Lone Shark, No Sins to Confess. I picked Lacuna Coil with Sleepless Empire.
Sorry, just to stop you there, I actually picked Crazy Licks.
Oh, you did. Okay. Wait a second. All right, so let me take that back. February 14th, Jeremy picked Thrill of the Bite by Crazy Licks. All right. February 21st, Jeremy picked Twins Crew chapter four. And I picked Killswitch Engage, This Consequence. And for the final week of February, Jeremy picked Perfect Plan with Heart of a Lion. And I picked Brainstorm with Plague of Rats. Cool. So let's see here. Question number three of the night. My final question of the night. Brad, is Robin turning AOR? Yeah, that's closer to AOR than full-on heavy metal, I would say. And that's kind of the disappointing part. All right. So my question is, what's the most underrated band in metal or hard rock? Who deserves more love? And why do they stand out to you? Jeremy, who would you say?
Okay, so this is just obviously off the top of my head, but I think the most underrated would probably be UFO, because UFO have never really sort of, you know, you can't imagine them ever headlining Download, that sort of thing. And yet to me, you know, their material is incredible. You know, particularly under the Schenker era. So yeah, I'd go for UFO.
All right. Brad is saying 220 Volt. Interesting. I guess I'll go with behind me over here. I have the first Fastway album sort of peeking in. Off the top of my head, I could say that because I do enjoy all the Dave King albums. They don't have the longevity that UFO had, unfortunately. Another band that popped into my head is Warrior Soul, who I absolutely love. And up until probably their last two albums, I think has released nothing but great music. And that's that. All right. So let's move on to some points that Jeremy and I have put together. Well, that Jeremy sent my way. I'm not going to lie to you folks. Brad is saying, listen to Eye to Eye. Great album. What, the Scorpions album? So Brad is saying, I did get the Fastway album because of you. Cool. All right. So question number one, or topic number one here. Do we want New Testament music? They say no album. What do you say, Jeremy? What do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, the reason why obviously I raised it, they say that they're only going to release some music, but they're not going to release a whole album. I can see why bands don't want to release whole albums anymore. In Tesla's case, their last album was basically Def Leppard. And I don't want to buy another Def Leppard album. I want to buy, you know, Tesla. I want to buy, you know, what Tesla were. I'd love to hear something from, you know, the two albums that were released prior to that. I thought were really good albums. You know, they were pretty rocky. They were typical Tesla sounding albums. I'd love to hear that, but I don't want to hear the Def Leppard stuff because I thought it was a bit of a mistake for them. It sounded polished, but they'd lost a lot of their true identity playing that one album.
Yeah.
it seems as if they've made up their mind. And I think it's a bit of a shame, because if they were to tour, still tour, you know, it's good to get new music out there. It sounds as if they might release the odd thing here or there. They're releasing a live album, I think, coming up soon. But it would be a shame if we don't hear, you know, a really good rocky album from Tesla again. But, you know, they've got a fair few in their back catalogue, and we'll just have to listen to that.
Yeah, much to your point, I love Into the Now, which was the last album with Tommy Scio. And we're talking about early 2000s. That album came out. I mean, that came out around 05, somewhere in that area. So we're talking about 20 years. Forevermore, which was the first album without Tommy. To me, definitely misses Tommy. It's much like Def Leppard missing Steve Clark. It misses the bite. But, you know, there's tracks like Breaking Free, which I love that song. But after that, I mean, as you said, the Def Tesla album Shock, and then this latest single they put out just is not good. You know, to hear that, what grasped Tesla back in the day was their in-your-face rock. And for them to go back and just do like Laurel Canyon 70s rock, some boogie rock stuff, which is like, this isn't what I wanted from me. Where's Coming At You Live? Where's Yesterday's Gone? Where's Lady Luck? Where's, and then I'm sure if I look at all these credits, probably Tommy Scio's the one that's behind a lot of these. So to mention a very British quote, I think they've lost their plot. Record Store Day release next month is going to be them releasing Reel to Reel on vinyl, which is their covers album, which when that album came out, I remember people complaining and saying, this is great, but I want new Tesla. And for them to cover songs that we're already hearing a million times on the radio, what's the point? Why do we need Tesla covering Space Trucking by Deep Purple?
Yeah.
Why didn't they just do Smoke on the Water or Woman from Tokyo? You know, something else that's already on the radio a million times a day. All right. Other topic that you sent my way. This one's good. Not to say the other one wasn't. Has Tesla gone AOR? All depends. Vandenberg plays Whitesnake. Schenker plays UFO. Dirk Schneider plays Accept. Is that a good thing? Yeah, Brad, they did some decent covers. I'm not saying that they didn't do Space Trucking good. It's just that even Ace Frehley covered Space Trucking. It's like, again, someone else doing this song. At least they're not enunciating like Ace does it. But anyway, Jeremy, what do you think? Vandenberg, Schenker, Dirk Schneider. Is this a good or a bad thing?
Okay. So I had a little think about this today, and I came out on top saying this is a good thing.
Okay.
And there's a few reasons why. One is I'm going to see all three of those. I'm actually going to see all three, I just realized, only just now. Because Dirk Schneider's on the tour with Saxon, so he's going to play Balls to the Wall. I've got a ticket for Schenker playing UFO sometime this year. He's coming to Manchester, which is always a great thing. And also Vandenberg is coming to Manchester, I think, and he's playing Whitesnake. So I'm going to see all three. And it's not just for me, which is an enjoyment on its own, but I think it's really good for the young people who are getting into rock, because the reason is a lot of these guys who get into rock, they're not like us. They don't remember this stuff. So they're all sort of listening to their dad's record collections, and they want to go out and see live music, and they want to see this old stuff perform live, and they're being performed by a member of that band. So they are, you know, they're not charlatans just sort of saying, well, we're playing, you know, anything. They were actually playing this music at some point. So they're seeing that particular person of a particular time. And I think that's good. It keeps rock music rolling. Overall, I think that's a really good thing. It doesn't mean to say that those members who are playing, or you know, playing those things, Dirk Schneider, Schenker, Vandenberg, can't play their new music as well. You know, they can go out on tour afterwards and play their new music, and we'll go and watch it because we like to hear their new stuff as well. But you know, it's really good for dads, sons, daughters, mothers to go and see, go out and watch them, enjoy the music, and go and listen to the original albums.
Okay. I think it's a good thing as well. I'm not a huge Whitesnake fan, but I'm cognizant of the fact that you're never getting Whitesnake live again. UFO is done, so it makes sense that Schenker would be kind of flying that torch. And Dirk Schneider actually has more original members of Accept than Accept does. So, sure, why not? I think it's a good thing. Listen, anything to keep hard rock and metal alive, I think is good. So long as they're not ruining these songs live, I'm good with it. And like Brad just said, you know, we don't need re-records of these songs. I think that it was, and Michael Schenker just did it. I think Schenker did a good job. It kind of confuses me that he had Slash and a few other like guest players. I think Joe Hoekstra is on that as well, because Michael is one of the most influential guitarists. However, I think he's at the stage and at the point where he can do whatever the hell he wants. I know a lot of people crapped on Axl Rose singing on Love to Love. I actually think that song sounds good, and only because that song is so influential on so many levels. It's influenced different people. I remember seeing Angelus Apatrida years ago and hearing them play a song, one of their originals, and instantly I said, you guys get that from Dave Mustaine, don't you? Yeah, that was influenced by this song. I'm like, well, that was influenced by UFO's Love to Love. The that one chord progression that Michael is doing with an open chord in the middle of the song, which he later uses again on the Desert song on Built to Destroy, is what I was referring to. It's something that Megadeth used, a similar style, and then Angelus Apatrida also did something similar. So there's that. I found the Michael Schenker one enjoyable. I think there's a few tracks off it that are good. I think Joey Tempest did a phenomenal job on, did he do Too Hot to Handle, I believe? I thought that was great. Some of the other ones I wasn't keen on, but because I'm not keen on some of the guest vocalists he brought in. I'm not a big Jeff Scott Soto fan, so if you have him sing two tracks, then you know, you give him a shot and then you're like, okay, sounds like Jeff Scott Soto ruining a song that I like. Stephen Piercy kind of did nothing for me on Shoot Shoot. It was one of these things where you're like, okay, well, let Stephen sound like Stephen. And Stephen just kind of sounded generic personally. But
He's got Eric Grunwall on the tour, I think, doing all the vocals. So I think that should be okay. Good.
Short tour, so he can do the whole thing. I think Robin McCauley's going to be doing some stuff with him as well on this tour, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if he's going to be doing select dates or if they're doing like a Tales of Rock or Shankers. What's the other name that he goes out by where he's got all the singers? Yeah, I don't remember. It doesn't matter. But anyway, yeah. So I don't know if Eric and Robin are going to be doing the shows. That to me would be more interesting than Graham Bonnet and
Gary Barton.
What's that? Gary Barton. Yeah. Doogie White is okay, but I mean, I think Doogie is great at what he does, but Doogie's just kind of generic to me. So anyway. All right. Well, Brad is saying Eric is a great singer. Should be good. Absolutely. So anyway, we're going to be wrapping things up here. I do want to thank Jeremy, as usual, for joining me for these great shows. It is always fun to talk back and forth about these albums. I wasn't expecting you to agree with me on the McCauley one, but looks like you did. I thought we were going to have a little sparring match, but no, it was fine. We were both kind of on the same level of disappointment, seems like. I want to thank Brad for joining us in the chat. I want to thank Edgar Winterson, who was here as well for a little bit. And that's pretty much it, folks. Thanks again for listening, and we will see you next time right here on Signals from Mars. See you, folks.
Thank you for listening to the Signals from Mars podcast. You can subscribe to the show on all your favorite podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon, and more. Go to signalsfrommars.com for more information. This concludes our show.